Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're here just to catch up. I'm back from maternity leave. We are here together. So what is up, Brittany? How has life been?
How has your life been? I miss you so much. Welcome back. I'm so happy to have you back with me.
I'm very excited to be back and to be doing these not pre-recorded like crazy before both of us went on maternity leave. That was like the craziest sprint of all time.
I know. I don't know if any of you realize this, but we were recording like three times a week to get a backlog of episodes for everyone.
For while we're going on yet maternity leave, on top of like everything else, which is wild. But we're back and this is exciting. So how am I, you asked? But I asked how you are.
I'm good. I mean, I feel like I'm finally 2 months in, finally like getting into that groove of turning off the maternity leave button, getting into my work groove, which is nice. And you're in the complete opposite. Now you're starting. So what has that been like? I mean, your day, like this is day three. So
this is day three for me. Yeah. Monday was day one. It is, I don't really know. I haven't really processed it. I feel like it's been kind of easier because we're working from home.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know. Like I did log in a few times, like, you know, during maternity leave to see what was going on. I did a few episodes. It's definitely like kind of, it's sometimes hard to concentrate. I think I'm sure people say that, especially because my kid's like in the other room. I can hear her babbling and I just like want to, I'm getting FOMO. But I don't mind kind of just saying like, okay, now it's my time to kind of check into work. I have a harder time at the end of the day, like where I should be doing more things. I'm like, let me just hang out with her. So that's been kind of different, but it's only day three, and she doesn't sleep 100% through the night yet, so I'm like tired still, and I'm not like 100% the same way I was before.
Right. How much is she still waking up?
So she's between three. How many weeks? 15? Almost.
She's almost 4 months, right?
Almost 16. Yeah, almost 4 months. For the most part, like last night we had a breakthrough. She slept till 5 a.m., like from 7 to 5, like without waking up. I didn't have to go into her room. She's been now 1 week in her room by herself. I moved her from our bedroom to her big girl crib.
That's a really big deal. We should talk about that. So why did you decide to move her and how did that feel?
okay, so I had a plan. My plan was she started to roll a little bit. So I was like, okay, we have to get her out of the swaddle.
Out of the swaddle.
So first, so, and I didn't feel comfortable putting her in her bed in a swaddle in another room. Mm-hmm. Like that was my biggest thing. So okay. So we took 3 days to transition into the Merlin suit. And I wanted to see if it was good. It's great.
The marshmallow man.
Yeah. So we did that in our room for 3 days. And I felt like, okay, this is working. It's great. Also, she was napping in her crib. I was having her nap in her crib every single nap for a month before that. And then we'd take the nanit across the hallway into our bedroom. Like every day,
I'm
the
still
sound
not
machine,
over that.
Every day, the sound machine and the nanit would like, okay, can you move it back and forth every day for a month? It was worth it because the transition to the crib, not so, like, it wasn't so bad. Like I put her in there just to lay, like just to have awake crib time, things like that. But anyway, so 3 days Merlin suit in the bassinet. And I noticed that, she could touch the sides, and she's too big for it. So first night, we did it last Wednesday, and Rusty and I were, like, so anxious. I was really anxious, and I, like, couldn't sleep. And we cracked the door open a little, and, you know, you're supposed to shut the door, but none of that. And then slowly, it was kind of got easier. Now we shut the door. She's fine.
Yeah.
I can hear her. Like, I wake up in a second. But yeah, so that's been a week. And I wanted to do that before I went to work, too. And then during Thanksgiving, she was just, like, waking up every, like, freaking minute, every 10 minutes.
Oh, God.
Throughout the night. Like, and I'm like, something's wrong. Maybe I need to feed her because I was trying to, like, wean her off the thing. Then, then I went back to feeding her at, like, 4 a.m. And then the last few nights, she's just skipped it on her own.
That's
just
amazing.
Slept past it, way past it till 5. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to feed her at 5.
So when she wakes up at 5, what do you do?
I go in, give her a pacifier. She falls asleep, go back. She wakes up, go for an hour. And then, you know, it's just, and then she wakes up at 6:30 and it's just life.
Right.
And I hope eventually she'll not.
So I have a sleep consultant that I've used twice for Oliver, actually 3 times for Oliver. And I think we now need to contact somebody for Jack because he's been waking up for the past month, actually. He's been waking up every single night. It was 1:30 and then it moved to like 3:30. And then I got into this really bad habit of giving him a 3-ounce bottle because it's the only thing that would stop him.
Yeah.
So like he eats food. Like he eats, so he drinks four 8-ounce bottles. He eats a total of like 8 ounces of food a day. He doesn't need a 3-ounce bottle in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I was feeding her 2 ounces at 4 a.m.
So I'm like, it's out of control. I am so freaking tired. Actually, last night he woke up at, he didn't wake up for the bottle, but he woke up at 5 and he just wasn't going back to sleep. So I was like, and he doesn't take a pacifier. He sucks his thumb and he wasn't sucking his thumb. Uh-huh. So I was like, I'm just going to get up with him and play with him until 6 and I'll give him a bottle at 6.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. So we're kind of like in a bad place right now.
Yeah, it sounds like the same, but I can't get up at 5. Like
it's too,
I'm
crazy. Exhausted.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. 2 days ago, she did the whole thing, like an hour of every 10 minutes from 1 to 2. But Rusty did it. but then she went back to sleep at 2 and then it's just a lot. Anyway, so it's just interesting because it's like they make so much progress in like just maybe in a couple nights and you're just like, this is a different schedule now. I have different problems.
I know. It's constantly changing. So also the last time we spoke, you felt like the whole schedule thing was a big thing to tackle. So
the eating or napping?
Napping schedule and eating. I think like all of it felt very what's the word I'm looking for? But yeah, did you figure it out and how did all that go?
Thanksgiving was a pivotal time for us. Okay, this is what happened. So I was trying to get her to eat every 4 hours, like four times every 4 hours, like, you know, 7-11-3-7. Yeah. And but it was really hard because she would like cry and we wouldn't make it past 3 or 3 and a half. But then during Thanksgiving, she was napping a lot, maybe because she was overstimulated. And so I put her down to nap like a couple like twice between two feeds. And it worked. It pushed the timeline. And then ever since then, I like tried that again a couple times and it worked. So it was like she ate at 7, naps at like 8:30, and then she napped again right before 11.
Interesting.
And then so I got her to wake up at 11, feed her then, and then it kind of just, she went with that she just went with it. And I was like amazed that it just sort of happened. I was proud of myself. And the napping thing, like I really just became a little bit less afraid of putting her down for a nap when she was tired. At like 1.5 hour wake window max, like I wouldn't even take it to 2. And it's kind of helped. I mean, like sometimes it's confusing. Like you sort of have to decide, do I feed them or nap them? Because it's never like always 100% eat, play, sleep. But it's just, you can't be perfect. And I've accepted that. And it is what it is.
And like even now what I was saying, like Jack's been on that 7-11-3-7 feeding schedule for, I guess, like 2.5 months now, 3 months.
Yeah.
And, well, no, I would say like 2.5 months. And his napping has been, you know, pretty strict where it's like 8:30, 12:30. And then he actually just dropped his third nap. He was taking a third nap from 4 to 5. But even today, like he fell asleep in the car on the way to daycare. And he was trying to fall asleep at like 7 o'clock because he woke up at 5. And I got there. And normally he'll nap like 8:39. I'm like, it's 8. It was actually like 10 to 8. I was like, you could put him in the crib. Like he's tired. Like put him down for a nap. Yeah. So it's like, and then like they regulate. And it's like, okay to have that one off day. It's going to be fine the next day.
It's going to be fine. Right. I'm just really concerned about the nighttime because I really need to sleep.
Yeah.
And Rusty gets migraines from lack of sleep, like really bad ones. And I feel really bad for him because he like sees floaters and he can't see. And then at the same time, I'm like, this isn't fair because like that's awful. So that means now I have to take more of the, do a lot more.
Yeah, that's really tough.
But I mean, at the same time, I will do that. But now I'm starting to get headaches, not migraines, and I can see. But it's just, it takes a physical toll on you, and it's better than taking an emotional toll though, because that's what I was experiencing during maternity leave, and I feel a lot better now.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So like the last time we spoke, we were talking about our mental health. So where is your state now with that?
I'm unstable. My mental health, I feel a lot better. Moving her to her crib changed a lot for me. I think it's just like a new phase. I have my room back. It's my room. I think that that's, for some reason, it just like makes a huge difference. You can lay there, you can turn on, I haven't turned on the TV in my room in like how many months? And that's my like favorite time.
Yeah, really, it's a big deal.
But yeah, it's nice to know that I can.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's sort of like created a little bit of a healthy separation, which makes me feel, I don't know, it makes me feel a little bit just like more stable, a little healthier. Yeah, today I'm good. That doesn't mean tomorrow I'll be great, but
yeah,
I feel a little bit better. Like I'm back to work. I have the capacity to think about things. Also, I know we're going to talk about this later, but I hired a nanny and that has helped a lot.
I'm sure.
So much. Like that's like the biggest change, because at least I know that there's, you know, I can take, there is again a little bit of a separation. And while, you know, you think like, oh, I'm longing, I want to see her, and the separation is good.
Yeah. No, you have that relief too. Like you have your alone time, you have time to like do what you could go food shopping if you need to, which is seems like the simplest thing, but there's even no food in my house right now. I haven't gone food shopping in like too
long. Shadily, the Amazon Fresh Direct, whatever it's called, not Fresh Direct, but Fresh Delivery is great.
It
is,
I know. I do that all the time. Cheap. I know. I do it all the time.
It's 50 cents banana. I don't know.
Except like I'm the person that likes to do the Whole Foods delivery on it, because I'm like, they don't have... Like
I did do that, but then the other one was like, they actually have a lot of name brand stuff that Whole Foods doesn't have. And I was like, and it's way cheaper.
I know. I need to go back.
Just try it. I've only done it a couple times, but try it, because they do have a lot of the Whole Foods stuff.
There was like at a time when I was dairy free, there was a specific yogurt. I was eating the Coco June coconut yogurt, and the Amazon Fresh didn't sell it. So specific, but only the Whole Foods delivery sold it. So I'm like, I have to do the Whole Foods delivery.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. Now they are you. Wait. So last time we also talked, you were still breastfeeding, were you not?
Yeah. I'm not breastfeeding. And
nice. Can I say congratulations?
Yeah, okay. You can.
Okay.
I feel amazing. Thank you. I was having like really, really low points. The last time we spoke about this, when I was breastfeeding, I was having very, very low points. You know, my hormones didn't balance out right yet. So I didn't really know what I was going to feel like at specific points of the day. And ever since I stopped, and what's interesting, it wasn't like, I didn't know it was my last pump, because I honestly started getting like very little. So I was just like, was pushing it off. I was like, I don't feel like pumping. And then I kept being like, oh, I'm going to give myself mastitis. And then I pumped like once. And then the next day I pumped once. And the next day I'm like, I'm not going to pump today. And then I pumped again the day after. And then it was just kind of, I like stopped pumping one day and I was like, I think I'm okay. Like I don't need to pump. But like when I did it, the last time, I didn't know it was last time. And I almost feel like that was better, because I just kind of like let myself let go of it.
Yeah.
And I feel so much better. My hormones definitely regulated. I got my period. So like I know that everything's working. Yeah. And like I'm just letting you know, the first period is not okay.
I don't know if this is TMI, but I still didn't get mine yet.
I didn't get mine after Oliver until I thought I was pregnant. I went to the gynecologist and he told me no, like I really went to the gynecologist.
Couldn't you take a pregnancy test?
Well, so I was crampy for like a month, and this was after I had stopped breastfeeding, and I was like, oh, I'm getting my period. And I also was feeling like uncomfortable, like something wasn't right. So I don't know if it's like TMI, like went to the gyno, like had to go on some antibiotics. And he also did an internal ultrasound. And he was like, oh, you're like soup, like you're getting your period literally tomorrow. Like you're getting it any day. He's like, here are your eggs, like blah, blah, blah. Like basically I was like my most fertile day. And no, TMI, no. And I had sex the night before. And also my mom's downstairs right now. I hope she's not listening. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I didn't get my period for 2 weeks after that after I went to
after
the doctor.
He said you're going to get it the next day, right?
Yes. So he called me to tell me like something about my culture. And I was like, hey, is it possible that I'm pregnant? He's like, it would have been too soon to tell. Like, you definitely could be. I was like, okay, cool. And then I ended up getting my period like the next day.
Oh my God, that's highly dramatic.
I was like, I didn't tell Noah because he would be flipping the fuck out. I was unwell. I was literally like calculating the birth date. I was like, okay, so I'm going to have a baby like at Jack's first birthday. Cool.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. No. How long did it take for you to get your period after Jack was born?
I got it a month ago. So like 5 months, but I stopped breastfeeding at like,
so how long after you stopped breastfeeding?
Like it took a month, I think, because I think I stopped at 4 months, 4.5-ish months. So it took about a month to get it back, which was way quicker than I got it with Oliver.
Oh, so how long did that take?
I didn't get my period after Oliver until he was like a year. Until he was a year, and I stopped breastfeeding when he was 9 months.
Oh, okay. So I still have time.
You have time. And like everybody's different. Like
everybody's different. Okay. Right.
There's difference between pregnancies and everybody is different. Right, so it's hard. Right. You can't like whatever. But I will say,
I shouldn't rush to take a pregnancy test.
No, like you're fine. I mean, you could take a pregnancy test if you want, but like you're fine.
I can't stop drinking.
Wait, can we talk about that? Like, how fun is it now to just like, you can drink whatever you want.
I know. Isn't it weird? Like, to talk about breastfeeding, doesn't it feel like wild to be in a complete, like, it's just a completely different state of mind. Like, to be obsessive about, or not obsessive, but like your whole world feels like it revolves around it.
Yeah.
And then being on the other side of it, it doesn't, like, it just feels like a distant past. Like when you said the word pumping, I was like, pumping, oh my God.
I know.
Like, you know what I mean?
I know. And like everybody, like whoever is still pumping and nursing, like I give it to you, like power to you, like you do you. That's amazing. But the world of difference that it feels to like not be attached literally and figuratively.
It's such like it's truly a sacrifice to your, I mean, and that's why people do it for so long. They are doing it for their baby. And it is truly a sacrifice of your own freedom and life and schedule. And so definitely power to you women who are still doing it.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We want to talk about things that we plan to do, and especially you, Aileen, because as a first-time mom, like things that we plan to do as mothers before our child was born and how, like, when it actually happened. Mm-hmm. What did we end up doing? So the number one thing that we had a whole episode on child care. So what did you say you were going to do? And now what child care did you go with?
During pregnancy, I signed up for a daycare. And after, I hired a nanny. But not knocking daycare. I still really want to do it in the future.
Yeah.
But I just, like, wasn't ready. Like, I was being honest with myself. I'm like, I'm not ready to drop her off somewhere. I'm going to be home. It's going to be a nice transition to have someone here with her and it gives me some space, but still I'm here. This is my first child. I don't need to be, you know, I don't need to do anything that I don't necessarily want to do. Right.
Yeah.
And, I didn't really beat myself up for making that change and it was very liberating. And thanks to you, I found a great nanny. And
yes.
So Brittany, I was starting to look for a nanny. Like I made so many notes about like all the questions and I called a couple women and it was starting to become sort of like a scary process because like I spoke to one woman who like totally bait and switched me on the call. She was Oy. Like, I was like interviewing her and then she interviewed me. At the end, it was like, she's like, I'll let you know. I have a lot of demand and I'll let you know if I'm going to give you the references. And this is what I expect. And I was like, whoa, 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 lady. So I didn't, you know, there's a lot of nannies out there who like kind of just sort of take over, you know, in the household. And I kind of wanted it more of like I didn't want that dynamic.
No, you have to find the right person for you.
Yeah, you have to find the right person for you, your family dynamic, who's going to take care of your child the best. And you were just like, hey, are you still looking for a nanny? My sister-in-law has a great one, and she's looking to go to daycare. I was like, yeah. And she's in the other room.
She's so sweet. I had only met her once, but she was so, so sweet. And I had a feeling you'd like her.
Yeah, she's so sweet. Like, just, and it makes me feel secure. Like it's such an important, like the daycare is so important. The childcare is so important. And I'm lucky. I feel lucky that this all happened. It felt very lucky to me, like rather than, you know, and so thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm so glad that it worked out because it helped my sister-in-law out. It helped your nanny out. It helped you out. It helped everyone out.
Right. It really did. It was great.
Yeah.
And like, just let's take a moment to praise anybody who is a child care professional.
Oh, yes.
They make the world go round.
Literally.
I don't think that's like talked about enough. Like I saw someone posted, I think maybe it was Amy Schumer who posted about like how thankful she is for her child care. Like even just the nanny, like just... They make women going to work and in the workforce possible, and just it's an amazing thing. But so that's where we're at. And So how about you in terms of daycare? I know you just posted a reel, about how Oliver's been home for a majority of the month. So
my kids, they've been alternating days home. With COVID, it's hard because, you know, any sight of a runny nose or a cough, the schools don't want the kids there. Understandably so. They've definitely become a little bit more lenient. They're like, okay, like kids get colds. Like you can't stop that. But now, just like everywhere, not even just my child's daycare. I feel like everybody I speak to that have their kids in some type of school setting, there's just tons of different viruses and colds going around and they're all bouncing it back and forth to each other. So Jack was, I swear to you, I've been to the doctor 2 times a week, every week for the past 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's out of, and I have to go again. I was there, I'll be there 3 times this week. It's crazy. So Jack was home and then Oliver was home, then they were home together. And this week, Oliver had a fever on Sunday. So he's been home and we found out he had an ear infection. So finally be going back tomorrow. But it's just, you know, luckily my mom came over yesterday and today for a little bit to help out. And he's definitely like way more chill like than he used to be because he's able... Like, he also wasn't feeling well, so he was totally fine just sitting there with his iPad and whatever. But it's just, daycare's difficult. Like, in the caption I put in that reel, I'm paying for full-time care and I'm getting part-time care.
Yeah.
Like, it literally is part-time care. And if I were in your position, if I was having my first child during the pandemic, I probably would have opted for a nanny as well. Being home, because I had said on the podcast in our childcare episode, I didn't like having a nanny. I didn't like that there was one person that was in charge of my child that I didn't really know. But that was also, I was commuting into the city at that point. I wasn't home.
Right.
So I think it's completely different. Like, you're transitioning into knowing this person. You're there so that by the time you do have to commute and leave, you know your nanny well enough and feel comfortable enough leaving Mila with her. Where, like, I didn't have that. Where if I feel like if I had that, I probably would have gone that route too.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially now, like, you know, Oliver's older. He's going to be in school anyway. He's going to be in nursery, pre-K anyway. So he's going to school. So financially, it doesn't make sense for us to now have a nanny for Jack and to send Oliver to daycare. That's silly. So Jack is going to daycare.
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm very happy there. I love our daycare. I love Jack's teachers. They're like one of his, like the head teacher is like this grandma who she's just like so, so sweet and so loving. And I'm just, I'm so happy there. And, but the whole sickness thing
just,
has been like,
it's just hard with this, the way that they send people.
Yeah. It's really difficult.
Because then you can't work. Like, there's no, it's so hard.
Yeah, it's hard. It's, you know, then, like, Noah and I are sitting there. It's, like, the beginning of COVID trauma where we're working our schedules around each other. Yeah. It's like, okay, you have a meeting at this time, and he naps at this time, and blah, 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 whatever. You know, you make it work. We've had some practice at this point, but it's tough.
Mm-hmm. It is tough. I'm sorry that that's happening. I'm sure that that's like across the board. So many daycares, especially with COVID. Okay, let's go to another plan versus reality. How did we plan we wanted to sort of feel for about our bodies post-pregnancy versus how is it actually going? I think that's a big one. That's a big one for me. How about you? You go first.
So it's interesting because I had a very different experience my first pregnancy. My first pregnancy with Oliver, I didn't gain a lot of weight and I lost weight, I think, in the first month of, and I mean, like, I weighed less than I did my pre-pregnancy body. So I don't know. It was weird.
Did you take some magic pill?
No, I don't know. And I think about that all the time. I'm like, what was I doing? Like, and I really felt great. I felt like I looked great. I was like, it's nursing. I'm burning all these calories. And then and I didn't really have that many stretch marks. Like, honestly, I was like, I'm good. And I mean, it took a minute. Like, I've spoken about, like, I had that like shelf stomach situation happening. But I would say it like kind of like molded back pretty rather quickly. So when I had Jack, I expected the same thing to happen. Mm-hmm. And boy, was I wrong. So I didn't gain that much with Jack, but I did not lose an ounce of weight since I've had him. And I feel like I'm only getting bigger. I feel like my stretch marks are getting worse. Like, I just feel bloated and disgusting all the time. And I know that's like so horrible to say about myself and just like, you know, I'm supposed to love my body. And like, it's how I feel. I'm like, it's like really hard. And like, we just recorded with Birds Papaya, Sarah Nicole Landry. And we were talking about this and like, it's hard to, you know, get undressed in front of my husband. And like, I just feel like I just don't feel like myself. Like, I can't wear jeans. I feel disgusting in everything that I wear. Like, I'm just totally not at a point where I'm happy with how I look. And at the same time, I don't feel like I am making an effort. Like, my eating is, I mean, I'm not like the worst eater, but like, haven't really changed that. I haven't been working out. So I'm almost like mad at myself. I'm like, well, you're doing this to yourself. So it is what it is.
On top of that, you're putting pressure on yourself and it's not helping.
Yeah. So it's a lot that I feel like I never felt before. So it's definitely very interesting to go through.
Okay. So what do you think that there was like something different, or do you think it's just like it's a couple years later and it's a different baby, or like do you think it's just it is what it is?
I don't know. I guess I'm older. I'm old now. I'm not that old. I'm 33. But I don't know. I mean,
am I turning 33 too? Oh my God.
You're turning 33. So like, I'm not that old. I don't know. Like, I guess maybe like, did anybody else, did this happen your second pregnancy? It like wasn't as easy, or was it easier second pregnancy? Like, I'm very curious about this, but I do need to get to a place where I just need to start, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better about myself with like the hormones balancing out. I need to start working out, eating better, and like seeing what happens. And not because I feel like the pressure from society, just because I like personally don't feel right. And I want to do that.
It's, you know, it's interesting because like, you know, I'm on the podcast Diet Starts Tomorrow, and yes, I've done so much like to talk about diet culture and like this, you know, you talking about how you feel disgusting, you know, is it because of the, like, you're just, it's, you're not used to looking that way, or is it, are we having trouble embracing our new bodies because of like this ingrained message that just bigger bodies aren't cute. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, but that said, knowing, having done all of that work in my mind, like I've done a lot, mm-hmm, I thought, you know, I would have a different mindset, but I can't help but also kind of feeling that same way. It was just like, I think that eating like intuitively during my pregnancy was great. Like I didn't have, you know, I didn't have wild cravings. I wasn't, you know, like all I could eat was ice cream, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was like no drama around food. And I was so happy. And I think it's because I did a lot of like work to allow myself to eat like that.
Right.
And so I didn't, I gained like sort of the minimum amount of weight. And, but now on the other end of it, it's so wild that like, you know, you go from having a baby in there and everybody, and you can't help but like kind of go by like what people say. Like you get all these compliments for being so, having this bump. Yeah. And then all of a sudden there's no baby in there and you kind of look the same. And now you're just kind of like are in a bigger body, but there's no baby. So now there's all this pressure like, oh, you must look like you did before. And I'm not really putting that pressure on myself because of, again, like, pleasing others. Mm-hmm. But it's also like I thought maybe because I did all of this work that it would kind of go back down, sort of right, like the expectation versus reality, like, and right, it's not so. And being a small, like, short person, I'm 5 feet tall, like, and three quarters, 5 feet, it's, you know, 30 pounds on a 5 foot person versus 5 foot six is completely different. Mm-hmm. So having like, let's say 15 pounds on me is different, mm-hmm, and so much harder to lose than not being my height. And I have a friend around the block, we were talking about this, like, just kind of like, yeah, I have to eat so much fucking less.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like a little, it's like, I think that part is also really challenging. Because I'm seeing that it's kind of like not really possible to like lose weight without paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. And I've tried really hard to never go on a diet again. And yet here I am thinking about how to lose weight in a way that like doesn't really trigger any type of disordered eating, yeah, habits. But I don't know what to do.
So do you feel conflicted because you've worked so hard to kind of get rid of this notion of dieting and do all this intuitive eating, and now you're kind of going back to me like, well, I have to do this, but you're like, wait, no, but I can't do this because it's not right.
I'm feeling so conflicted. But at the end of the day, I'm just kind of like, I want to unpack why I feel this way. Mm-hmm. You know, like in Sarah's episode, Birds Behind episode, she made like one point that really stuck out to me, and it was that like nothing really else has changed. In terms of like, yeah, you have this baby, that's changed, but the people, yeah, around you are the same. The people around you still love you the same. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no, there's no, so what is it that is, why is it that we're feeling so disproportionate? Mm-hmm. You know, like you using the word disgusting to me is like, you know, like that to me is, it's not proportionate to at all. To like, is it okay? So we gained some weight, we had a baby, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not going away, but maybe it'll take a little bit longer time. But inside of our minds, it doesn't feel like that. It feels so much more dramatic.
It feels so dramatic. It's like, it literally feels like the end of the world almost. Like you can't, because you can't change it. Like you can change it, but you can't change it overnight. And it's like a whole other project to take on. And you don't even know what the result will be.
Yes, yes. So it's so fucking annoying.
It really
is. It's so frustrating. And I was also talking to my friend about, you know, how our bodies just physically do change. Like my waist is a bit wider, you know, I used to be like, oh, I love my, you know, smaller waist and it's just wider these days. And I have to learn to sort of love it because it's my bones.
it's
a thing to try to figure out. But I mean, the thing is that we're not alone and we just had a baby. So we have to give ourselves kind of grace in that area.
We do.
Because I think we're the only ones putting this pressure on ourselves. But even all of the like moving aside, I do feel like there is this like sort of feeling that our partners, you know, want to, in our heads, we're like, they didn't sign up for this version of me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then again, if they were to gain a lot of weight or they were something else were to happen where they look different, we would still love them.
Nothing would change.
Right. So that I keep that in my head.
Yeah.
Too.
So, and we gave them a human.
True. Like, you would be nowhere without me.
Right?
Screw your Peloton.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's turn it to something a little bit lighter, which is actually like a question I feel like we get a lot, is nursery items we thought we needed and then we ended up using the most.
Okay, you first. I need to think.
I feel like for me, it's different because I did it already, so I knew what I was going to use.
Yeah, right. What about the first time though?
I said this in an episode already that I didn't have the sterilizer the first time around.
Yes, the sterilizer.
And I didn't think it was necessary. And it's literally, it's amazing. I think that's like the number one thing. It dries everything. I think that's what makes it best. It dries everything.
It is great. I agree with you on that. I bought a bunch of these like other types of bottles that have like wide necks.
Mm-hmm.
I did not use one of them. I used like literally the Spectra in the beginning, the Spectra bottle, and I got a MAM nipple sucker.
Interesting.
What are they called? Are they called the nipples?
Yeah, nipples.
The nipple tops of the bottle is called
nipple.
Yeah,
it's a nipple.
It's not an actual nipple.
It's a bottle nipple.
I bought the MAM bottle nipples, and because I saw on the Formula Mom Instagram, like which ones actually are most like a mom's breast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not the wide neck.
Mm-mm.
And yeah, we've just been using those all the time. You stick them into a like a Spectra one, but now she eats more than 5 ounces. So I bought the MAM bottles to go with the nipples. But I got this. There are so many parts to these larger ounce bottles.
I know. So I use the, I use the Dr. Brown bottles, and I use
some of those,
Yeah, and I use them with Oliver, too. I use the wide neck ones because those nipples are the wide neck ones that are also recommended on top of the ones that you're using, because I saw that post also. And actually, I liked these Dr. Brown, the wide neck nipples changed from when I used them with Oliver. Like, they're more like a regular nipple now than they were.
Like, instead of those, like, really wide.
They're wide. They're wider than the regular Dr. Brown. They're the Dr. Brown's wide neck. It's not like the big the big ones. I don't want to say them because like I don't want to knock any brand, but like it's not like the big round ones. But those are the ones I use. And like they're so, I mean, I also use those. I use those from 3 ounces, although like I only use Dr. Brown's. Yeah. And the parts are so effing annoying.
So many parts. There's like 700 parts per bottle.
It's so annoying.
I know. So yeah, that's, I, you know what else? I didn't really use my crib or the chair that much.
Interesting.
We were doing everything in our room.
Yeah.
So the only thing in her nursery we used was the dresser and the top, obviously changing top.
So it's interesting that you say you didn't really use your chair, because I didn't either in the beginning of with either of my kids. And I found that it came more in handy when I was doing a regulated bedtime. Now I use it every single night, because when I put Jack to sleep, I give him his last bottle in the chair. And with Oliver, up until I moved the nursery furniture into Jack's room and mm-hmm. got Oliver new furniture, I was using that chair to sit with Oliver reading him books every single night. So you will get more use out of the chair, but like I didn't use it at all like the first 3 months of both of my kids' life.
Right, exactly. And you're like rushing to get this item to put in the nursery. And unless you're, I think it's really just depends where your kid is sleeping at the end of the day, because now that she's sleeping in the crib, I use the chair. That's where we give her the last bottle. Mm-hmm. It's where we kind of just chill. I give her her lovey. She now holds a lovey. She loves doesn't her sleep lovey. With it, but she holds it. Oh,
that literally when they hold on to it, it's the sweetest.
With the little chubby fingers.
Ever. I can't even take it now. So I give Jack, I have like a teether for him, and it's a pretzel. Like he's eating a sandwich. He like holds it. It's a pretzel shaped teether. And he just like sits in his car seat when I'm like driving to daycare, and he chews on it. And it's literally like, I can't even take it. It's the cutest thing ever.
That's so cute. The little fingers are just.
I can't.
Just so precious.
I can't take it. And also another thing is the play yard.
What's that?
Like the pack and play. I used it being in a house. I used it because I kept it on my second floor to have a changing table. And so I didn't have to go up and down the stairs to Jack's room. But I rushed to get it from my registry when I had Oliver in an apartment, and I literally didn't use it until he was 18 months old and we went on a vacation and I needed to use it.
Mm-hmm. I haven't pulled out my pack and play yet.
Yeah, like when
it, I've had it forever. The thing that I have used was, that I highly recommend if you don't have, is the bouncer, the Baby Bjorn bouncer.
Oh, it's the best thing.
That's where she's starting to now kind of like not really like it. She's like squirming out of it a little bit sometimes. And now she bounces hardcore. Like,
wait, she bounces in it? Like she actually pushes herself back?
Yeah, because, like they can bounce themselves because she's so bigger funny. Now. But I mean, obviously the first like couple weeks, she's too small. But when they fit, like that's just where she kind of plops. And you can read them books in there. You can like...
It's the best.
Learn to play with the little toys in there. So, that was a great.
I love the Bjorn. I still put him in it. And he's six months old. I actually recently sent this to you. This isn't something that you need right away, but the Fisher Price, the sit me up chair. You could probably start to put her in it at 4 months.
Her neck's still like.
No, but it's not. It goes. It like whole. It's not like the Bumbo. They like are deep in it.
Bumbo.
So like try it. See if she's strong enough to sit in it yet. Maybe she is, maybe she isn't. But I started putting both my kids in it at 4 months. And it's like this assisted seat. And I actually feed Jack in it still, because it's just, I find it easier to like put on top of the table and feed him in it. The Fisher Price Sit Me Up is literally the unsung hero.
Do you have any trouble getting him out of it?
Of the Fisher Price seat?
Yeah.
It's a little like annoying sometimes, but it's like not like anything else.
Yeah. That was the only, but I have it. I set it up and everything. It's ready to be pulled out of the basement. One more item that I didn't expect I needed. I bought it way later and I really like it. It's like, oh, you know, you register for all these like wooden things that are all like light colored to go with your home.
Uh-huh.
No, I bought like the, also the Fisher Price, like pink, colorful little play, like play
gym. Kick and play?
Yeah, with the little piano. And she's sitting there talking to the toys. Like, I think she has arguments with them. I have a video of her, like, yelling at the little lion and monkey. Like, when I put it away, she stops. And then I put it back, she starts talking to it again.
That's so funny.
It's like her friends. Like, they're in Discord. I don't know what they're talking about, clearly, but it's very, like, the other day she was, I think I was recording a podcast, and I just hear, like, intense, like, baby noises, and I, like, text her nanny, because I'm, like, still recording, I'm like, is she okay? She's like, I think she's found her voice.
It's so cute.
She's, like, just talking so intensely to these little toys. I'm just like, do you not like them? I don't know.
It's really funny.
So... And it actually takes up a lot less room than the wooden sitch.
Yeah. The Fisher-Price kick and play piano were fan favorites in this house, and we still have it out. There's like the crinkly toy on it that has the black. Yeah, that's Jack's favorite toy. We have to like put it onto his car seat. Like we have to bring it with us.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I have another one. Wait, I think we talked about this. The little mobile. It's like $12 or something on Amazon. It's just paper, and it's just like little, it's like a little mobile. It's, do you say mobile or mobile?
I think mobile. No, mobile. Now it's weird.
We won't say it. That thing, it's like made of paper. On one side of the little wheels, it's like black and white, and the other side is little colors. And I clip it onto her car seat, her stroller, and it's great.
I've seen that before, but I never had it. It's great.
Great. Stares at it like nonstop when we're like can't stop staring. And it's just colors, like little, but it's awesome. And I didn't know, somebody gifted it to me. I'm like, what is this? And then
it's always the random toys.
Yes, random. But anyway, those are all my product recs. I feel like we have so many more things. We had so much more on our outline today. Like we wanted to talk about our, like the plan versus reality with the dogs too. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing. We even had a Dear Betches Moms email. So let's save it for another episode.
Yeah.
So that is it for today's episode of Betches Moms podcast. Guys, don't forget to just write us a little review if you really like this show. We work really hard on it, and we would really love it if you could just like write if you like it. Well, please write only if you like it. On the reviews of Apple podcasts, and you know, just click subscribe if you don't already. And it would be amazing if you could post it on your story, share it with a friend. Now everybody has links. Everybody can swipe up these days. There's no elitist 10K BS anymore. And so just share it with a friend. It would mean the world to us. And follow us. Why not? At Betches Moms. I'm Eddie Lean. And remember, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com.
Betches.